And now for something very, very wrong. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Way to go, Chicago White Sox. Congratulations, Harry. Let's hope they don't throw this series. Now, anyway, moving along to... Eehee! Well, I mean... Cheap. I hear the guys they work for now are cheap creeps. Einhorn and what's-his-face. Anyway, congratulations to the Sox. And for you Irish fans... Oh, now that's too bad, ain't it? But, you know, you're not going to beat SC. What, are you kidding? With a 4-1 ball club, some team, an overachieving team. I know they were playing there at the hallowed, what is it called, Notre Dame Stadium. I'm not making fun. I'm Catholic. Although I am Catholic, that's right, so I can make fun. By God, if black people can call each other the N-word and Jewish folks can call each other the K-word, I'm a Catholic, so I can call myself the A-word. And I tell you what, I thought that guy Linehart, going into the ball game, I thought Linehart was one of these golden boys. You know, the guy's got those movie star good looks, Carol pulling him out every time he had a pinched nerve or he had a pinched, you know, somebody pinched him on the rear end or something. And now the guy goes in there and is bloodied, battered, but unbowed as the USC Trojans beat the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Oh, my God, can we do something about the nicknames in college football before we're all arrested for child molestation? Because I've never heard anything more patently sexually offensive than the USC Trojans. And that's been a gag for years, if you'll pardon the expression, gag. Now, I'm looking at these guys jumping around on the field with the green jerseys on, and inside the helmet, what do I see?
Black.
And yet they're called the Fighting Irish. The Vikings, there ain't one guy on that team near from anywhere near Scandinavia. And so on and so forth. I'm not going to make a big thing out of that. Who cares? Anyway, the White Sox did it. They did a number on the Angels, baby. And nobody beat the Angels but the Angels. I thought that there was a good point made in the paper today by one of the writers for the LA Times sports section, which is rare for them to make any kind of a point. But this one guy said, and I think I read it clearly, he said, yep, the Angels beat themselves. And I went, yeah. The umpiring was fine. The White Sox will go to the World Series against, God, I hope it ain't going to be, who won? Did the Astros play tonight? No? Is it on now? God, I hope the Cards can come back in that series. A Cardinal-White Sox series, now that's baseball. That's old-time baseball. You think we're going to have that? No. You know, can you think of the World Series that just left you with an empty, just an empty pit in your stomach? Can you think of the World Series that we've, remember the Oak, wasn't there a San Francisco Angel series once that was sad as hell, I think? Who did the Angels beat last year? Who?
New York Yankees.
What do you mean the New York Yankees? They're in the same league as they are.
They beat the Yankees.
They didn't beat any Yankees in a World Series. There's always these, like, how would you like to see this? The Houston Astros and the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. Baseball tradition at its finest. Seattle, hate them. Oh, God, do I hate them. I hate everything out of that town. The baseball team, the football team, they ain't got a hockey team, but once they do, I'll hate them. And the Supersonics, just the whole concept of that city is wrong. From the day the first drunk fell down in the middle of a muddy trail up there and said, I think I'll put a whorehouse up here, and it grew into the city of Seattle, to today, you got that funky pro football team they got up there with their weird-ass helmets and those gay uniforms they got now. Hey, nice going with those uniforms, by the way. What is that, gay green? I think that's the new Seattle colors, gay blue. To that stinking, rotten basketball team and that lousy base, the whole, and the town. Why? I don't, honest to God, I don't know why I feel this way about Seattle. Maybe it's because I've been there. I might have a little lousy radio experiences in Seattle. That probably has a lot to do with it, too. I had a guy up there. He said, I think I'll hire you, Phil. You are the greatest thing. I want to put you on the air. This is before we had the show syndicated. And I went up there, and thank God, I remember going up to Seattle. And I was flown up there by the program director of the radio station. So I go up there, and I'm in the station, and I'm in the building. You get a feel for, I don't know if there's any other guys in the business, but I get a feel for how good a place is by the actual feel of the office. When I walk into a place, does it feel warm? Are people smiling? Are people having fun? Does it look like people like the job? Or is it like you're walking into a church? I've walked into some radio stations, and you get off the elevator, and the first thing you see, ooh, right across, are the call letters of the station. It'll say K-R-A-P, and it's lit with a spotlight. Honest to God. When I used to work at KNX-FM right here in L.A., you'd get off and be, ooh. It's like a science fiction. I just saw that Forbidden Planet, like guys getting off a spaceship just, ew, 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 ew. And I went up there, and that's exactly how this place felt. I said, I don't know, man. So I got on the air, and I did my thing, and the cat takes me out to brunch the next day with his girlfriend. He says, hey, we want to hire you. And I said, gee, thank you very much. And can I just kind of sleep on it? He said, well, you're in Ventura right now. What are you making, like $13 an hour? I said, yeah, right. Well, we'll pay you a whopping $35,000 a year. Oh, well, that's awfully generous. But you got to make up your mind. Okay, so I flowed back. Flowed? Wow.
Are you drinking this weekend or something?
None of your business. No, I wasn't. So I flew back, and I sat there, and I said, for the first time in my life, I'm not going to take a job for the money. And I turned the guy down. It was the hardest thing for me to do. It took me 3 weeks to call this guy. He kept calling. I called him up. Hi, sir.
Yeah.
I don't think I want your job. I'm going to stay in Ventura. I thought the guy was going to cry.
Okay.
I didn't have the heart to tell him. I went karaoke singing there in the International. That was the first time I ever went karaoke singing, because after I got off the air, I went out with my friends. I knew a couple of people living up there. They said, let's go to the, quote, International District. Now, why do they call it that? Because it's far more polite than Chinatown. You don't want to call it Chinatown, and you don't want to call it Japantown, and you don't want to call it Chimpanzee Town, and you don't want to call it Retard Town. You just call it International District. I went there, and I said, this is the first time I'd ever seen this kind of thing. I said, what is this? Well, people sing to the deal. I said, what? Yeah. So they were up there singing, and I got up, and I remember I sang Ride the Wild Surf by Jan and Dean. And you know how when you start on the wrong key? Ride, ride, ride the wild. But within 2 seconds, God, can I sit down? And everyone went, yeah, let's please sit down. Yeah. So the ball game Saturday was great, although I heard it was great. I didn't see it because the satellite at my house or whatever it is, it's called. I was up at the beach because my wife and I, well, let's just say we had a little disagreement. So there was Phil exiled. And as I tried to turn the TV on, it wasn't working. Why? Because it had been unplugged. Why? Because somebody was vacuuming. And because you have to boot up the modern-day cable systems, like for a half hour, I'm waiting for this thing. And you know how it is. You sort of, what the hell is this? Why is it working? Now I'm yelling and I'm talking to no one. I'm yelling at the remote. I'm screaming really loud because I want the street to know that I'm angry, right? What is wrong with this thing? Hitting the thing. Welcome to Moxie. Now it shows the thing booting up. Okay, great. It's booting up. Great. Now, for some reason, I got to figure out how in hell I now begin to find channels on this thing. It ain't like the one that I got at the house. It's a whole different thing. It shows you the channel, then it shows you the three things, and I'm all over the place trying to find this. Finally, and then, of course, the regular thing ain't got the game. The regular cable system. By the way, that cable, whatever's going on out there, man, in Ventura County, how about you guys start with the basics? How about showing the SC game? That'd be a nice thing. You got, with all due respect, I've got 16 Spanish-language television stations. What do I need with that? I understand the high concentration of our Spanish-speaking friends, but don't you think it's about time somebody somewhere learned how to speak English? See, you're a racist if you say that, but my thinking isn't race. It has to do with culture. Speak the same language, guys like Phil stay happy. Guys like Phil stay happy, there isn't road rage. Anyway, oh, the Angels beat the Giants in 2002? What happened last year? The Angels have won 2 World Series? I guess they have.
Last year was the Sox, Boston Sox in St. Louis, and the Cardinals.
Boston won last year. Why did I think that they were?
And the year before it was Florida and the Yankees.
Why did I think the Angels were the defending World Series champions? I must be out of my mind. Well, that goes without saying. No, it's not that I'm out of my mind. It's that I have some seriously damaged brain cells. Why? Because I take speed every day. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show will be back tonight. We have a couple of gentlemen debating the merits of the jury system. We'll have a gentleman on who says that women who use their, shall we say, monthly problem as an excuse not to go to work, it isn't fair. Men should be able to use their sports addiction as an excuse not to go to work. And we'll also have some other things for you, including a guest who will be on very, very shortly. Father McQuarters. He'll be talking about a new school presentation, a Christmas play featuring naked children. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I saw the date on this. This is a flashback request. It's from September the 2nd. Man, we are behind. Am I still forward? I don't even think I forward any to you anymore because you got how many? Michelle does? Okay, good. Michelle's getting into my email and going through my private affairs. That's just great. All right. It says here, Phil, could you please replay a Vernon Dozier bitch? Bitch. Could you please reintroduce Vernon Dozier the bitch? No, could you please replay a Vernon Dozier bit on which he's talking about the Mepham High School boys and how the coaches aren't to blame for what goes on in the locker room because they've got game plays to review. Thank you. You are greatly appreciated, Kimberly, Little Rock, Arkansas. Mr. Dozier, a high school football coach, is defending the high school coaches during that whole Mepham High incident back on Long Island when they were like shoving pine cones and all that stuff. So here it is, by request for Kimberly and Little Rock.
Hi, I'm calling regarding the coach.
Yes, ma'am.
Who I just heard say, watch someone be sexually assaulted and he did nothing to help him.
Well, it's none of my concern, ma'am.
None of your concern when you walk in on another human being?
I've got to look at game film. I've got things that, are you a single mother?
No, I am not a single mother.
All right. I would suggest that any woman out there that chooses to live without a man and raise a boy, I would suggest that she go ahead and buy the Vaseline right now rather than because she's made her son into a rape victim.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah, hold on a second.
I mean...
Hold on a second. And, yeah. And what if she's a widow? Should she go ahead and buy that Vaseline then, too?
Ma'am, all I'm saying is I think that a young man needs a father in his life, but not one that's too domineering.
Right.
Okay.
Do you have children, sir?
I beg your pardon?
Do you have children?
I'm not able to have children, though.
Yeah. God. Thank God.
I can't hear you, ma'am. Your car phone's so cheap.
I said thank God.
You date God?
She said thank God.
I'm sorry, I can't hear her.
Yeah, I said thank God that you are not able to have children. The reason I called is to hope that the superintendent of the school system that you work for is listening tonight and you do not have a job tomorrow.
So in other words, you're a parent trying to take the blame off of your... You see, this is... I knew this would happen.
Absolutely not.
I knew
Absolutely
this would happen.
Not.
You want to blame all the coaches.
For anybody's behavior.
If I try to stop a group of boys holding down another boy, they may think I want to join in, okay? And if somebody walks in on me trying to... They're going to immediately assume that I'm involved in that sexual assault, not trying
and
to break it up.
As a professional, then it's your job to have another professional with you.
They're going to think it's a gang.
So.
They're going to think it's some kind of a sick gangbang.
Yeah.
And they're.
Yeah.
Well, is your fear?
I'm not going to sacrifice 30 years of coaching because somebody like you, Rhonda, walks in and sees me trying to break it up, and you assume I'm the ringleader because that's the kind of person you probably are. And so there's no justice in this world.
So you think that there are people, you just as soon walk away from one student as sexually assaulting another because it may be perceived that you're the ringleader.
Yeah.
There you go. By request, boy, Vernon was in a real persnickety, rambunctious mood. He's going to be on tonight on the Phil Hendry program with more of his baloney. I forget what it is that Mr. Dozier will be talking about. Maybe, perhaps, Bud, if you could read. Have you gotten through the third grade yet?
Yeah, in a couple of weeks.
Can you read what that says?
Vernon Dozier beyond about...
That's good. Go ahead. Give me that. You know very well how to... Mr. Dozier will be on talking about how men should be allowed to have sick days like women take them for their period.
Yeah.
Great. Let me get the gentleman on the line right now. I'm going to have a couple of gentlemen debating the merits of the jury system. Mr. Harvey Wyman and Mr. Jeff... is that you, Mr. Doubter? Mr. Dowd, are you there?
Right now, I'm sorry I couldn't hear you. I'm soaking. I had a pretty tough day. I operate some heavy machinery for the county of Los Angeles, as well as, doing my usual work at Caltech.
All right. What do you operate for the city of L.A.?
Well, actually, it's going to sound fairly insane, but I do operate a snowplow when they need it in the higher elevation areas of the city.
It didn't snow today anywhere, did it?
No, it didn't, but they had me on standby, so I was just wiping it off and everything.
All right, Harvey Wireman is also with us. He is an attorney. Mr. Wireman?
Yes, sir. I could barely hear you. I don't know what's going on in the...
What is that, a hot tub?
Yeah, it is.
He's in a hot tub.
The other gentleman's in a hot tub?
Yes.
Jesus. Well, you know, I are we on the air?
Yeah.
Well, then I don't want to say that. I think it is only fair to have me debate individuals that are... Never mind.
If you have something you want to say...
Well, every time I want to say something...
Look, Mr. Wireman, Mr. Wireman?
My name is Wireman, not Wideman.
My name is Jeff Dowder. I simply want to debate you on the merits of the jury system on account of what happened to me.
On account of what happened to you? Are you listening to this guy?
He's the guy we've picked. Mr. Dowder will go first. You'll go second. Go ahead, Mr. Dowder.
Okay, my name is Jeff Dowder. I had a court case in the county of Los Angeles 2 months ago. When I went into the court, I mean, I was on a jury duty. I didn't have no case, but I was on a jury duty. When I went into the court to appear on that day for my jury duty, I immediately had my bag searched by a man that they said was a sheriff. He was a bailiff.
Can I interrupt for just a second?
Just let him finish. Go ahead. You're doing fine, sir.
When they searched my bag, yes, I have a pen and pencil plastic container that did have a baggie of some diesel kush. I said, please just throw it away, please, please, please. They got really, really angry at me, and I said, I'm trying to take the bus. Sorry, I didn't know that kush was in there. I apologize, please. So I didn't think they were fair with me, and I was trying to be a good citizen by being in a jury.
Mr. Wireman.
Are you telling me that this guy brought a baggie of, what is kush? Is that marijuana?
That's correct.
Okay, so you're on jury duty. I just want to be clear.
Mr. Henry, is this a debate, or is he going to interview me?
Hey, I just want to be clear on some things.
You took a baggie of pot, and it...
Well, I didn't know it was there. I'd had it in a pen and pencil container, and I'd forgotten to take it out.
You forgot it to take it out. You know, I am getting so angry. There's one thing I won't forget to take out. I'll pull it out, and I'll go after you with it. Because I feel that you have...
What is that? Some kind of a rape? Oh, my God. How queer can you be?
I'm not queer. I'm trying to say to you that you bringing a baggie of marijuana into a courtroom in the United States is an affront to the legal system that we have so strenuously tried to uphold for all these many years. And I will also say at this time, Mr. Henry, that you putting me on this program with a dope head who was serving, and this guy's going to use it as...
Well, wait a minute, Mr. Wienerman, you...
My name isn't Wienerman, and it's not Wiederman, it's Wireman. Do you understand that?
Well, I mean, you deserve to be called Wiener Boy because...
Wiener Boy? All right, I'm hanging up, Phil.
No, wait, please don't hang up.
No, I'm hanging up.
You're going to violate your contract with us.
What do you want? Am I supposed to sit here and have him call me Wiener Boy?
No, that was uncalled for, sir. I don't want it anymore, all right?
I'm sorry, but it was sort of... The guy's name lends itself to so many Wiener gags. I just...
Okay. You're saying that you ought to be able to bring pot into a jury room.
Yes.
And, Mr. Wireman, you don't agree?
No, I don't agree. No, yes, I do agree.
Well, you don't agree.
No, I don't agree.
All right, we'll let you be the judge. Give us a call here, ladies and gentlemen, at 1-800-449-8686. Who wins the debate? We've got a caller right now. You're on the air. RC, go ahead.
Yeah, I think the guy that took the cushion run, he's bitching.
Ba-ba-booey, ba-ba-boop-boop-ba-boo.
Looks like I won, Wienerman.
You know, I to hell with all of you.
Sir, I didn't know that we were going to get cranked.
Yeah, the hell you didn't. It sounded like your nephew.
All right, thank you, Mr. Henry. I'm glad that I won for America.
God, I hate all of you.
We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, speaking of computers, which I don't think I was, but speaking of computers anyway, and pretending that I was speaking of computers, mine was slow this weekend. I don't know why. It was slow. And understand, I don't treat computer or internet access or the World Wide Web the way I do any utility. I don't expect it to be fast. I pay for a certain service. I guess if I'm not getting it, I can go to another ISP. I can, you know, somebody else to provide my DSL or my ISDN or my RPM. But, you know, it was just slow. And I wonder why it's slow. Why is it slow? Why is the internet slow?
Well, there's a lot of traffic.
Well, I've been reading up on the internet. How many of you guys know the history of the internet? Well, let me just tell you something. While it is true that Al Gore didn't invent the internet, Americans did. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We did. Americans. Now, you can be embarrassed by that if you want to be. It might be something that you think is a product of how fascistic we are, what Nazis we are. But the fact is, this is the God's honest truth. The internet was invented by Americans. I would say people like you and me, but that would include you, bud. Years ago, a guy was noodling around, trying to figure out how he could interface one computer with another. It was happening all across the country. Carnegie Mellon, Case Western University, Stanford, UCLA, University of Miami, Indiana, Purdue. Yes, it was Americans that decided, let's have a computer talk to another computer. And gradually, they formed something called, not the internet, ARPNET. ARPNET. Don't ask me what it stands for, but I think it stands for...
Ain't that what the old people do?
Will you shut up? I had music going. I was creating a mood.
What mood?
That's... What do you mean, the old people?
Ain't that the old people thing?
That's AARP, you jackball. This is ARPNET. ARP, I don't know what it's... Advanced Retro Polluted Net. How about that? I just came up with that one. Forget it. Take the music out.
No,
I don't want to do it. But the fact is, Americans... I was reading through the whole history of the internet, and I finally come to the French got involved sometime around, say, the 70s. The Canadians chipped in around the early 70s, late 60s. But the whole basis for the internet, the whole reason for its existence was created by us. That's why we're the guys that control all of that .com stuff. America does, because we're the cats that invented it. Now, guess what? They want to take it away from us. The United Nations wants to take it away from us. Why? Well, because they ain't getting their piece of the change. All the other countries, now they want it. They want in on something else we invented. The dirty, filthy commies. The preceding brought to you by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. All right, now coming up, Margaret Gray will be with us. I don't know if we have her on the line just yet, but she's going to be talking to us about something that is disappointing her. She's right. Margaret, are you there?
Phil, I am here. I'm really just leaving. I'm exiting a party at Steven Spielberg's. Steven, very good. Thank you. Good luck with your career, really. He's had so many smellers. I love him, but... What was that? Yeah. I saw Amy Irving. Phil, I am on your program this evening. We just broke up at Steven Spielberg's. It has been a very frustrating evening, as you know. The Iraqi people voted yesterday and over the weekend. This is proof, more proof, of the absolute disregard for human life and human value that George Bush has. The fact that he would have them go out and vote and in so doing expose themselves to possible murder. Well, that blood will be on George Bush's hands.
Yeah, but I heard that the voting went okay. There was very little violence.
Oh, very little violence. They heard some bombs go. People died, and that is... I don't understand. What side of this are you on?
I'm in favor of the Iraqi constitution, and...
Oh, so you're a Bush supporter, huh?
Well, when it comes to the Iraq war, yeah.
The Iraq war? Okay, Elmer. Well, you know...
Look, I answered your question, right?
Yeah, you sure did, Porky. Now,
what's with the Porky stuff?
Phil,
Hey, what, have you been talking to her, bud?
Same thing.
Look at Phil. Let's get down to brass tacks. The fact is, what George Bush has done in Iraq, everyone knows, is an absolute act of evil and cynicism. One that can only be placed alongside Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler.
You got to be kidding.
Why do I have to be kidding?
You're kidding me, right? I mean, there's an election that happened. The people voted. Overwhelming, a heavy turnout. There was very little violence. The people wanted to vote. I mean, it was a constitution written by Iraq. What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with it? It's America meddling in the internal affairs of another country. That's what's wrong with it. Years ago, Phil, we didn't have this problem. The country of Iraq was a secure place. People were living in relative security.
Yeah, but they had a dictator that was dealing arms to terrorists and was involved in all kinds of shenanigans.
So, what's that got to do with me?
Well, look, at what you were going to sing a protest song.
You're darn right I'm going to sing a protest song, Phil. Oh, and by the way, just so you know, Steven Spielberg has afforded me the use of his cabana. So if you try to call in an airstrike, it's lead-lined. Nothing will get through.
I won't call in an airstrike on you.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. I'm in the pool house of the Spielbergs. Thank you, Steven, very much. Oh, wasn't that nice? Cherry in it. Thank you. All right.
What is he bringing you drinks to?
Yes, he is. He brought me what is this? Look at that, a sherry with a cherry. Wouldn't you like to know, Stephen? All right. Phil, I want to do a song that I think is one of the finest protest songs ever written. This is a song that I think, as I told you earlier, says it all. I tried to sing this once before, but I was interrupted by the retard.
By the what?
The retard.
The retard?
Yes.
Who is...
I think she's talking about me.
Do you have a man there by the name of Dickman?
Yes.
Yes. Isn't he a retard?
What do you mean a retard?
That is the socially acceptable way of saying it. We don't say retard anymore.
I thought we said developmentally disabled.
Oh, whatever. This song is called American Idiot by the great Billy Joe. 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3. Heel kick, heel kick. Don't want to be an American idiot. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. Don't want a nation under the new mania. Those wonderful lyrics. And can you hear the sound of hysteria? The subliminal mind, blank America. Welcome to a new kind of tension all across the alien nation. 3 and 1, 2, 3. Oh, the idiot.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Why are you, once again?
I gotta take a break. Do you mind?
Can I finish when we come back?
Yes.
Telegram for Margaret Gray.
Over here, boy. What is this?
Just a cigar.
Thank you, Phil. Did you send me the cigar?
Well, just to show that there's no hard feelings.
Dutch Masters. Don't mind if I do.
You bastard. Still a pretty good smoke.
All right. See, when you smoke cigars, Margaret, I thought you gave them up. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Tonight we will be speaking with a man who believes men should be entitled to get time off from work for hangovers if women are allowed to get time off from work for their time of the month. Also, Father James McQuarters with a very controversial school presentation that he's going to be producing. That will be coming up on the Phil Hendry program. Our great thanks to Margaret Gray for coming on the air and allowing us to blow her face off with an exploding cigar. Thank you very much, Margaret. You really bug me. Oh, man, do you ever. Now, just to remind you, our web address is www.philhendryshow.com. There's only one philhendryshow.com. It's ours. And if you go there, you'll find the all the things you need for your backstage pass and things like how to get our webcasts and how to get archived material. I don't know why you listen to the radio. If you listen to the radio to laugh, this is the place. This is a place where we take our laughs pretty serious, man. In fact, we take our laughter here deadly serious. Six men aren't alive today because I like to laugh. Six men are dead and in pieces in suitcases all across this country. Why? Because I take my laughter seriously. I enjoy a good laugh. I enjoy comedy. I enjoy what I call an intelligent laugh. I like spirited, intelligent, edgy humor. And I take it so serious that I'll kill anybody who says different. Now, just go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com. There you'll see various pictures of me. You know, I'm about as ugly as it gets, and I'm just getting uglier as the years roll by, man. Oh, if you want to see how I used to look, go to our scrapbook pages, and you'll see a young Phil Hendry there, I would dare say almost stud-like. Back, do you know that I was considered once for a Marlboro print ad? Believe it, seriously. And I wish I still had the picture, but I don't. I gave it to a girlfriend, and she had it like on her, she had it on her, like her bureau, as if that was what I still looked like. Oh, wow, thanks. You know, it's like when I had hair. Seriously, though, I was good looking enough to have, they took a picture, you know, my agent, and anyway, they sent it in, and Marlboro considered it for a print ad. You know what they said? I looked too young. I was 33 at the time. Too young. Good look, but he's too young. And I said, but I smoke Marlboro, and I promise I'll get cancer like the original guy. Nah, they wouldn't have it. So you can go there, look at our scrapbooks and different things, our radio, TV, and print section. We got a brand new picture, by the way, on our scrapbook photo of the week. This is of listener Chuck. He's in the U.S. Army in Iraq, and he sent us a picture of the kids cleaning the Humvee. He's got kids there. Then he sent me a picture of what is called a... It's an EID. Now, it's actually a video that he sent me. What is an EID? It's an explosive something device. They were driving along in their Humvee, and there was a truck ahead of them and a couple of cars, and boom, this bomb goes off. And they were fine. The Humvee, no damages, but you can hear the guys, stop, 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 stop. You see this bomb go off, you know, and is it... And there's all kinds of debris. And the guy goes, okay, stop, 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 stop. Guy goes, well, I want to get there. No, that's just stop. Because I think they thought the truck in front of them threw the bomb out the window. No, just stop, Eddie. Stop, you know. All right. Now clear. For the, wait till the debris is clear. Okay. Now back it up. Back it up. Back it up. Back it up. It's like a freaking sergeant. Just do what I'm telling you. Back it up. But I found out there were no injuries, and the Humvee wasn't damaged at all, and there you go. Anyway, there's a picture there of the kids on the web page. So you can get all of that stuff and more for only $6.95. And don't forget, we have a webcast coming up on the 11th of November. We also have our Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2005 CD. It's going to be coming out. All the money goes to my friend's place, our favorite charity. Great people. They are a resource center for homeless and runaway kids. They're doing our artwork. I can't tell you how cool that is. I can't thank you enough, you guys at my friend's place, for doing that. And the artwork this year is going to look awesome. It's got Bobby on the cover. Oh, my God, is she ugly. Talk about me being ugly. But, in other words, she's ugly, but you would definitely, well, like, do it with her and stuff. So Bobby's there. So it's all there on the webpage. Check it out. Become a member, and we'll love you forever. 1-800-449-8686. Brad Rifkin is going to be joining us tonight to talk about Muhammad Ali. And we also have a interesting little story to tell you about. Well, actually, they called me from the wardrobe thing for the TV show Fillmore Middle. So I'll tell you just how fat I have gotten in just a moment.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Brad Rifkin joins us. Brad, how are you? We just have a couple of minutes.
I'm doing good, Phil. I wanted to call your program to, first of all, tell you how much I'm enjoying listening to your show tonight.
Thank you.
I also was wanting to tell you that we have purchased the gym, and we are going to be promoting amateur boxing in the Las Vegas area. And in order to try to get kids more interested in boxing, we're asking people their opinion. And I guess I'm just asking your opinion. Don't you think, and I don't want to sound like I'm being insensitive, so tell me if I am being insensitive. Don't you think the Muslim gimmick is over, or do you think that's still going on?
The Muslim gimmick?
Well, yeah. In other words, I remember a young kid. He fought in the Olympics. He was a beautiful thing to look at. His name was Cassius Clay. Okay.
Oh, you mean, and then he became Muslim?
Then he became a Muslim. He changed his name to Muhammad Ali, right? Now, there's all these kids, Rashan this, Hamad that. I said, yeah, why don't you Hamad this? You know, and they don't think that's funny. And don't you think that whole Muslim gimmicks, and remember the guy, what was the guy for the Minnesota Vikings? Hamad Rashad, right?
Yeah, Hamad Rashad. and there was Salam Abdul with the Jets, and Calvin Muhammad. I mean, there's been a lot of guys that are either they're Muslim or they've just taken Muslim name.
Yeah, don't you think that gimmick's done? Because I'm trying to tell
it. What do you mean gimmick?
The Muslim the gimmick, you know, the whole Yamal gimmick. Why don't you just go back to calling yourself Dick? Remember Dick Tiger? There was a fighter. Now he would be, you know, Dick Yamal or something, you know.
He would be Yamal Tiger.
Yamal Tiger, why?
Because Yamal is the first name.
Well, I wouldn't know, but there were some great fighters, you know. Riddick Bowe, who's a great fighter. He's got a normal, well, it's not a normal name, but at least it's a sort of a regular name.
Riddick Bowe is right. I mean, frankly, I don't know where to get a name like Riddick. I'd rather hear a guy call himself Yamal. What's Riddick mean?
You'd rather hear a guy call himself... Who's the big guy from England?
Lennox Lewis.
All right. Ain't that a regular name?
Lennox? Sounds like he got named after a car. Look, I don't know. Good luck to you. But I think the die is cast. I think those names are here to stay.
Well, I don't. I think it's a gimmick, and it's going to fade out.
A gimmick? Man, Muhammad Ali took his name back in the mid-60s, dude. It's almost 40 years.
Nah, it'll fade. How long you want to walk around being called Hamad, you know, like you're a dairy product. You know, like, you know, milk is Hamad.